Hey, everybody, and welcome to another exciting episode of 90s Horror Films. I'm your host, Jonathan Moody, and I've got an awesome guest with me. I don't think he's been on this one before, but he's definitely been on, he was on Indie Film Cafe Spotlight with Paul, I think.
Yes, I definitely was.
Yeah, so that was awesome. Thank you for that. And please welcome Steve Rodzinski. How are you doing, Steve?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me on the show.
Yeah.
Jonathan, Mr. Moody.
We've known each other for a long ass time too, so like
over a decade.
Yeah. Definitely. I think MySpace days,
yeah,
for sure.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
I remember buying your movies like Basic Slaughter and
Slaughter was 2007, to be clear. Yeah. So
I think it was about that time too. It was right after you made it. So yeah, so we've known each other for a while. And we actually met back in Horror Realm back in 2011, I want to say. And so that was fun. Like, that was a good fucking convention, you know. But let's talk about Halloween H2O. So this is the one of two movies in the 90s that Halloween was part of. But I've already talked about Halloween 666 or Halloween 6, whatever you want to call it.
It was really weird that they skipped like 660 entries to get to that one.
I know, right? You know, it took them, a while. They skipped a bunch. And then they went back to, and they didn't even call the next one. Originally, the title was Halloween 7, by the way. But they decided to change it to Halloween H2O when, I guess, they realized it was getting closer to the 20th, you know, anniversary. And originally the script, from what I've understood from the making of, the original script was basically they told them to start fresh and kind of ignore the whole Thorn stuff, you know. So kind of do the same thing they're doing now with the new one, except
including three.
Halloween 1 and 2.
No, what I'm saying is, not including 3, this was the first time that the franchise introduced a new timeline, basically.
Yeah. Well, okay, I want to talk to you about that, actually, because you just rewatched all of them, right? So you've seen
all of them.
Yeah.
Even the zombie ones, which I...
Uh-oh. I'm kind of losing you, man.
Also, I had never seen before, but I finally watched both of those this week. You're frozen on my end.
Yeah. So you're frozen for a second. It was my internet, apparently, is always does this. Can you hear me? Okay. Hey, are you there?
Now I can hear you.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
So the last thing I heard you say was you just watched all of them, right?
Right. And then you said, and the last I started hearing you say was that you watched all of them, including the Rob Zombie ones as well.
Yes.
You know, which you were not a fan of, I'm guessing.
I loved Halloween 2 by Rob Zombie. I think that's my favorite in the franchise.
Was it always, or was it just?
I never saw it before. Never seen it. Yeah.
Well, interesting. Yeah, so I don't even
know. It seems to track, because I know a lot of people that like the Halloween movies that hate Rob Zombie's Halloween 2 and think it's the worst one. Meanwhile, I'm not a big fan of the Halloween series, and I ended up really liking Rob Zombie's Halloween 2, so I think it makes sense.
It was definitely a different approach than the first Halloween that he did.
Was a bit of a dud for me.
Right. So, it was way too white trashy. The second was a little bit less white trashy and more.
It was an anti-slasher. And it was like, if that movie was made today, I think it would be a hit, because people were more signed on to more of the artistic self-reflection horror.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas at the time, that was not a thing. And that's not to say Rob Zombie is a completely misunderstood auteur or something, but I do think that's very much what he was going for. And people weren't ready for that sort of take yet.
Well, I think they were expecting a little bit more like the one he had just done.
Yes, I agree.
So they were a little surprised. But, you know, it doesn't bother me. None of the Rob Zombie Halloweens bother me. They're just not something I search out to watch. You know?
That's fair. That's how I describe the rest of the series for the most part.
Except Halloween 1, I'm sure. The first one.
No, I don't like 1 very much.
What?
Okay. I respect the hell out of one. I respect the cinematography. I love the fucking music. The ambiance and the tone is great. I like the feeling of stalking and just discomfort and tension from Michael just like watching these children walking down the street. Like, all that stuff is good. There's so much good in the movie. I just think that a whole lot of fucking nothing happens for way too long. And like, there's so many scenes of no character advancement, no plot advancement, just teens talking to each other. And it reminds me of Friday the 13th one, where I'm just like, none of this fucking matters. This movie could be a half an hour shorter and lose nothing. So for me, pacing is a big thing. And as much as I think Halloween 1 is an excellent made film otherwise, the pacing is what makes me rank it lower on the list.
Did you notice when you rewatched, when you watched this one, that there was a lot of nods to the original?
Yes.
You know, a lot, even including run, like in the original movie, she tells the kids to run down to the McKinsey's, right? Or whatever. Mm-hmm. And in this, she says, run down to whoever else, I forgot who it was, but
yeah,
she
call says, the police.
Yeah, and call the police. And I was just like, okay, you know, like,
yeah,
that was a great callback, but I it felt too much like, okay, we're throwing that in there, you know, like if you're a fan, you're gonna notice it.
It's fixed, whereas in the first movie she kept dropping the fucking knife. She doesn't let go of the axe at any point in this one, so I really appreciate that.
Right,
Lori learned her lesson.
Well, did she really? I don't know. I mean
she
problems.
Went from doing really badly to fucking beating the shit out of him, so I'll take that.
Well, yeah. So I understand, like, she wanted to make sure Michael was dead, but I did not buy the fact that she would want to just, you know, all of a sudden out of nowhere, she got this like strength to go after him, you know? Cause like,
well, it's because now she's protecting her son.
Well,
she thinks that my take is that she truly feels that if she doesn't stop Michael now, her son will be living with the same pain that she has been living with for 20 years. And this is not as much about her killing Michael for herself like it is in, say, the 2018 Halloween. This very much seems like she looks at her wounded son in the car, and that's when she makes the decision of, all right, you guys get out of here. I'm going to fucking end this.
Right.
Because this is very much I think 2018 Lori is much more broken. This Lori is also broken, don't get me wrong, but this Lori has a lot more rage. It feels, mm-hmm. 2018 Lori has more fear and paranoia. This Lori is just angry at how much this has destroyed her life and how, what she has to do to end it.
That's true. So
for me, it worked.
Okay. So we'll go back to the kind of the beginning of it again, and sort of like, you know, as I was saying before, they had this idea to kind of do a new Halloween, and they were trying to do it fresh. They were trying to make something that took away from the Thorn, because it was just at that particular moment, it was just all gobbledygook, you know, like mm-hmm. nobody understood really where it was going to go. So they're like, you know what? Fuck it. Let's just kind of start it from like part two, you know, like this is years later, whatever. There's no mention of Jamie Lloyd or anything like that, because that, I guess in this kind of version, this alternate reality of this timeline, that she doesn't exist, you know, she doesn't exist or we don't.
Yeah,
you know.
I can kind of understand them wanting to get away from the cult of Thorn. Although I think that works. I mean, there wasn't much explanation, but there also didn't need to be. It's just like, oh, this cult put a curse on this kid. That's mm-hmm. it. That was enough for me personally. Like I was, as much of problems as Six has as a concept, I had no problem with just that idea.
Right.
But I think part of the motivation, especially because I know that that the original script, this was still connected to 4, 5, and 6. Like there was a scene where Lori is like hearing about the Myers kills in Haddonfield a few years ago. And like Jamie Lloyd, the daughter of Lori Strode, you know, was murdered by Michael Myers. And then Lori has to leave and just vomit because she abandoned her daughter to die.
Oh, wow.
And I think they may have made the executive decision to not connect it to 4, 5, and 6 because they didn't want Lori to have that weight and have that sort of like guilt because that would have been an extremely selfish thing for her character to do, to fake her own death and basically throw her daughter to the fire. So from that aspect,
well, that's what
I
she
can get it.
Sort of did, right? I mean, in 4, 5, and 6, that's Lori had left her daughter, you know.
Well, in 4, 5, and 6, we are told Lori died. We're told Lori died in a car accident when Jamie was very, very young, and that's why Jamie got adopted by the Lloyds.
Okay, so this, really, technically, this could still be that. Then it's just
if they didn't go out of their way to say a couple of lines, I agree, because I think this movie can easily be sequel to 4, 5, and 6. I don't think there's that much, but they do go out of their way to say a couple of lines, like the cops in the beginning outright say, "We haven't seen Michael Myers in 20 years.
Right.
He has never come back," and like.
Shit, I think I lost you. God damn it. Stupid.
That wouldn't be possible.
Ah. Sorry, folks. You're going to have to sort of bear with this situation right now. I think Steve can hear me, but can't see what's going on.
And Haddonfield saying that so three moves.
Yep. Sorry, we're back. Are back. We back?
Yes.
Sorry. Yeah, I could see you moving and talking, but it was like slow motion. So that's what everybody heard. Sorry. I don't know what is going on with the internet today. It's been acting really funky today. So sorry. That's the problem with doing Zoom, you know? Can you hear me? Wow. All right. Are you back?
I'm here.
Okay. So I can see you now, I think. I think we're good. Okay. Did you want to repeat any of that?
What was the last thing you heard me say?
I think the beginning of it, what you were just saying, basically that the cops kind of said that basically there was no murders in 20 years and that.
Yeah, and that just isn't possible if he just killed three movies worth of people in a very public way, because like it's not like 4, 5, and 6 were secrets. So.
Yeah, so there you go. That's the thing. So and they kind of mention like that they knew about the murders that Michael did. Like Adam Arkin's character kind of mentions, like he knows about this, but he didn't know that she was truly the girl. You know, he didn't know that she was Laurie Strode. Mm-hmm. So there's that. So I guess it really couldn't tie to the next one, which are the 4, 5, and 6, which is fine. I'm okay with it. I'm kind of tired of people going, you know what, let's just start fresh and. Like how they did with 2018, you know, like what are they going to do after Halloween ends? You know,
I'm hoping Tom Atkins has more sex with young women. That's all I want in the next Halloween film.
So you want like a Halloween 3 part 2?
I mean, yes. Or the very, straight up. Yes. I'm just going to say, yes. I want to see that world after that. I want to see witch magic and shit. I want to see weird shit. I always said before 2018 come out, if I was making 2018, I would have, what I would have done is there would have been a Michael Myers and he's killing people. And everyone keeps on talking about how this is some weird Michael Myers copycat. They keep calling him a copycat. And then they find out that there's multiple Michael Myers killing all their friends. And finally the protagonist is able to kill one of the Michael Myers, but he bleeds yellow. Surprise, motherfuckers. This is a sequel to Halloween 3.
That's awesome.
They built a bunch of Michael Myers robots based off this movie in this universe.
That sounds funny.
That way people get their Michael Myers that they fucking want visually.
But that's interesting. That would be a good take. Did you know that this one was going to have a copycat killer?
Oh, I didn't.
No. So I just heard that like I watched the making of, and one of the things that was in the original script or one of the original scripts, there's multiple drafts.
Oh yeah.
Was that there was that kid, the main friend or whatever that dies, you know, is dating Jodie Lynn O'Keefe. I think it was Charles or Charlie or something. He was the copycat killer. And he was supposed to be. That's what he auditioned for. You know. So he auditioned for that, and then they decided to go a different route.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, great. Oh, so I think, are you okay again? You good? Oh my God. What the hell is going on?
I can hear you. Yeah. You're breaking up a bit, but I can hear you.
Okay. I can hear you now. Okay. No, this is just shitty right now. I don't know. Sorry, folks. You know, and I'm not editing this.
I'm just gonna say my upload speed is fucking great. So
I'm sure it is, and I don't know why mine's not. It's supposed to be doing good. So I don't know what the fuck is happening. Maybe there's a lot of wind and storm shit happening, like, you know, around. So I don't know. Michael Myers does not want us talking about this. That's
clearly.
That's what I'm going to go with. Or maybe it's the Thorn, you know, society there. Just,
it's the Cult of Thorn. Oh, shit.
Cult of Thorn. They don't like us talking about.
I need to call Paul Rudd right now.
I was surprised he didn't come back. I know he was so busy with Ghostbusters and.
It's one of those things where he definitely would have come back, but they wanted to shoot Halloween Kills at the exact same time he was going to be in Ghostbusters. And I totally understand why he would want to be in Ghostbusters more.
Right.
Halloween Kills.
I think Ghostbusters might be the bigger blockbuster than Halloween Kills. But, you know, they got Anthony Michael Hall, so, you know, whatever. You know, it's kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, and this movie had a pretty awesome cast, though, with Josh Hartnett, freaking Michelle Williams. Did you hear me on that?
Yeah.
You just told me my internet connection is unstable. Keeps telling me that.
I actually hear you fine right now.
Okay, good. But yeah, so Josh Hartnett, they got Michelle Williams, Jodie Lynn O'Keefe, who later on went to be on like She's All That and a bunch of other stuff. You know, then we got Jamie Lynn came back. LL fucking Cool J.
Joshua Daniel Hartnett.
What? Joshua, what? Oh, is that his Danielle? Is that his middle name?
Joshua Hartnett.
Yeah.
Daniel.
Oh, Daniel. Okay, I was going to say. Was that his full name? Can you hear me? Shit. Okay. Was that his full name? Joshua Daniel Hartnett?
Yes.
Okay. This is really terrible. Let's see. So Josh Hartnett, Michelle Williams, fucking LL Cool J. I mean, the cast was pretty phenomenal for the time, you know? And from what I understood, Josh was on working on this as well as working on The Faculty about the same time. He got cast in both. You know, and they're both like mirror, you know, dimension films, so that makes sense.
I had not seen this in so long that when, you know, Josh Hartnett showed up on screen, I legitimately thought it was Jason Ritter because at that age they looked so similar. Apparently they look nothing alike now, but like when I was looking at pictures of them side by side, I was like, okay, well, I'm not an idiot for mistaking this. But fuck, I thought fucking goddamn, he fought Jason and Freddie and Michael Myers, Jason Ritter. I thought he was just a very busy boy.
I mean, you know, would he have been right for that role too? Like if he had auditioned?
I mean, probably. I mean, he's a good actor and he relatively speaking looks the part, I'd say.
Yeah.
But I think at that point he was still too young.
Yeah. Well, there you go. But yeah, no, it was funny to see like, you know, Josh doing both this and The Faculty, which I love The Faculty. It's like one of my favorites. Like, seriously. Yeah,
it's a great film.
Yeah. I know. So Kevin Williamson, who, and it's so weird because you listen to this music in this movie and it sounds like Scream. So there's a lot of Scream type shit in this movie. If you notice that, like Marco Beltrami did the music and it's like, it has that same sound. That Scream did, and Kevin Williamson actually wrote a he gets a story credit, but like I think what he had told in an interview was that he was asked by a lot of people to write, you know, like a, like fix it up. And he kept saying no, because he was just too busy. Like literally Kevin Williamson at that time was writing Faculty, or doing stuff with Faculty, Dawson's Creek, Wasteland, you know, and Scream 2 just got finished, you know, like he was in the middle of doing, I think, or so he was in the middle of like doing like five different projects, and he told them he wouldn't do it. And then Jamie Lee Curtis called him and he said, all right, I'll do it for you. You know, that's all it took. And so Kevin Williamson rewrote like some of the dialogue, like punched up some of the dialogue and stuff, which is what he's known for. So I'm going to, I want to rewatch it at some time again and see if I can kind of tell which, what dialogue is, you know, kind of rewritten by him, you know?
I think anytime she's yelling at her son is him.
You think so?
It just seems like it would be, that seems like it would make sense. Not exclusively that, but everything that is that was probably him.
Right.
Like, it's so real and it really, really fucking works. My favorite scene in the movie is when she's just like, hey, when she tells like his friend, like, you go back to class, you go back to the school, you know, you tell him to let you in. And then she turns around and she's just, what the fuck were you doing? Like, it's fucking great. Like, that was like my favorite acting from Jamie Lee Curtis, I think, in this franchise.
I saw a clip of, you know, and it was like a rehearsal between him and her. And he was so new, like he was like fresh off the boat. He hadn't really done anything at all. Like, I think he had done a couple like things, but like really nothing to this magnitude. And he had this scene with her where, you know, that scene in the street, and he yells at her, but like his original rehearsal thing, it was so bad that they both kind of laughed at it, you know, or whatever. Like, it seemed like they were, it was sort of like, you know, and she was like, oh, you're getting it, you know, right? I'm like,
yeah.
She was, I feel like she was sort of like acting like a mother coach to him, you know, and helping him out. Yeah. And I think that's what really worked, you know.
I agree.
You know, I think if they had a really seasoned veteran actor to play the son, then it might not have come off, you know, like as well, because I feel like, and this goes to most filmmaking, I think, too. If you cast somebody who's still sort of new but good, you know, you get them with a seasoned veteran mother, and that'll probably happen all the time. Their maternal instincts kick in, and then it's more like they are working together and being, you know, very mother son or mother daughter.
Yes. You know?
That's what I think. That's another part of why I don't like the Halloween, you know, Kills, or Halloween, not Kills. I haven't seen that
2018.
One yet. But the 2018 one, because we have Judy Greer or whatever. And I feel like she's too good of an actress. Like, not that she doesn't deserve to be in a Halloween movie if she wants to be, but like, it just doesn't, it feels like they're not really mother and daughter. Like, they're playing mother and daughter. In this, I feel like they were playing mother. They actually felt like they were like mother and son. Like, I really got that from them.
I could agree with that. I will say that one thing Judy Greer has over Josh Hartnett is that only one of them was in The Hebrew Hammer. So 1 point for Judy Greer.
I do love her. Like, I think she's a great actress.
She's amazing.
I don't
know. But I agree. I want to blame the script more than Judy, because it's clear that they wanted her to be alienated from Lori in that script and like not have a relationship with her mother. But then because of that, when she finally starts to have a relationship with her mother again, I don't care. Right. The only moment with Judy Greer's character, I think her name was Karen, which was even worse. I wish her name was just Jamie. That would have been nice. One reality where Jamie gets a happy ending. But I the only scene that I actively liked her in was when she fooled Michael into walking into her shot. That was fucking great. And that made me pop. I was like, oh shit, yeah, okay, yay. And that was the end of the movie. So that's how long it took me for me to care about Judy Greer's character, aside from me liking Judy Greer as an actor.
Yeah, I've always loved her as an actor. But I just, I don't know. It's just,
I agree. Jamie Lee Curtis and Josh had an amazing chemistry in this that very much felt real.
Uh-huh. The only thing I didn't buy, well, I mean, I liked Adam Arkin, but I felt like his parts were too comedic to, like, once again, really care about his character. You know,
see, opposite for me, because he was a legitimately funny, charming guy, I really liked him. He was my favorite character.
Oh, was he? Okay.
Yeah, like he felt like a real cool college teacher, not in a creepy way, just in like I'm speaking to these kids like they're fucking human. They speak to me like I'm a human, even though I'm an authority figure.
Right.
And it felt good. I liked it. I liked his fucking jabs at the kids when he knows that they're going to be drinking and doing drugs as he leaves. He doesn't care. There's nothing he can do. I like that at first he thinks that Laurie is just fucking with him with this story about Haddonfield. And then the moment he realizes she's being serious, he's like, okay, time to put on my serious pants. You know, no more trying to fuck her. Now I understand. And it's nice. I really liked his character. I was honestly upset when he died, even though I knew he would die.
you knew he was. I mean, almost everybody except for Jamie Lynn and maybe Josh Hartnett and maybe Michelle Williams were expendable. Like, mm-hmm. I kind of wish that, and this sounds bad, but I kind of wish that Michelle Williams's character had gotten killed, because I felt like, you know, there was nothing left for the son after he left, you know. Like, when he left with his girl, like, you know, it was like
that character disappears, especially since Resurrection is a sequel to this. Guess Michael doesn't care anymore about his bloodline. Just wants to eat rats at his house.
Yeah. Well, he goes back home, you know, but like, it's like, oh, I'm done with her. You know, I wonder why they didn't bring back Josh Hartnett's character.
Makes
like,
no sense.
He could have been like going in and, you know, trying to find his mother and then get killed.
He could have been a crazy Tommy Jarvis hunting down Michael or some shit.
Dude, that would have been awesome. My idea was, why didn't they, why didn't they put it in where, cause she in the movie, at the end of, and we'll talk about the ending of Halloween H2O. She kills Michael, you know, or
great scene,
you know, kills Michael.
Yeah.
Right. We all think he's dead. The audience thinks he's dead.
And my wife, who had never seen any of these movies at that point, she dislikes the series even more than I do. She finds the series completely boring. She hates it. Like, almost every single one is just, oh, Michael goes to Haddonfield to kill one specific person. That's every fucking movie. So by the time we're getting to the end of this one, she is screaming at the movie, cut his fucking head off. Just cut his fucking head off. So when that happens, it was the biggest cheer I've heard in my house during the series rewatch.
Awesome.
And I love that they went.
All right. Yeah. I heard that she, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. I heard that she cheered and she was happy and she was excited, you know, or whatever. And so I guess that was it. That she cheered. And
that was pretty much it. Cheer. Yeah. That was the biggest cheer the franchise got.
Yeah. Well, good, because it deserved it.
But I love how brutal they went with it. That is great fucking.
All right. All right. I'm sorry. Like, every time it messes up. You come back to your, like, I can tell when it's back, because you're just like staring, like really upset, it seems, or something.
This internet is infuriating. I'm not going to lie.
I'm not. Hey, look, it's not. I'm not doing it. If I did it, I would, you know, like.
I'm not blaming anyone.
Yeah, you are. You're blaming the technology.
Yes. Oh, yeah. I said I'm not blaming anyone. I will blame anything. And the thing is the technology.
Just mad at you right now for saying that. It's about to mess up again.
Really? Fuck you, Skynet.
I know, seriously. I don't want to know when that's happening. I know it's already happening, apparently. That's what I've been told. All right. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. So anyway,
yes,
to go on to it. So this, God, I'm just like terrified of when this thing's gonna mess up again. But I'm fucking, you know what? It's fucking pissing me off so much. I'm leaving it in this. People have to deal with this if they want to hear that whole story, because we had to. Fuck it. Also, I'm lazy. So moving on. I really dug what this movie did for the franchise completely, you know, like having not watched it in forever, I almost was like a little, shocked that this movie was as good as it was, because I see the movies. Well, Halloween Resurrection was terrible, so that was, and I don't know how it could have been so terrible after this one,
right?
If they could just kind of like, okay, but I guess they just got different writers. They brought back the director.
That's the thing. Like, the fucking, like, Steve Miner directed this one, and Steve Miner's shtick is apparently making good sequels to other people's movie ideas. Because he made Friday the 13th good.
Right.
I've said that for years. That the first one was really, really rough, and then Steve Miner's just like, I got this, and then made part two, and now it's a franchise.
And part three.
Obviously, that's my favorite one. I just meant the initial, like, I'm going to make this idea better.
Yeah, and I think he should have done what he did with part two, is come back for part Resurrection, and he would have done a great job, but unfortunately...
Do like a two-parter, yeah.
Unfortunately, they didn't do that. They went the route of picking the director from part two, Halloween 2, which, honestly, one of my least favorite. Not, you know, I like Rob Zombie's Halloween 2 a little better than, and I get yelled at for saying that, by the way, from the horror community.
Oh, I'm sure. I mean, I get yelled at for any not positive Halloween opinion, so I get it.
Yeah, but like, it's true. I just, you know, Halloween 5 is my least favorite of the franchise. Like,
I actually liked 5 a lot. I ended up liking 5 simply because Michael is a giant asshole for no reason in that movie. And I wish that's what Michael was all of the time. Like, he just destroys that guy's paint job on his car. Why'd you do that, Michael? Fuck this dude. Okay. Hell yeah. Kill him now. I'm on this. Let's go. And also, Loomis is at his maximum insanity in 5. Literally picking up a little girl to use her as bait. Fucking mwah, mint.
Well, there you go. I hope they do, like, you know, which website does it? You know those pitch meetings that are on, like, online or whatever?
Yeah.
The two guys doing it. I wish they would do one for all the Halloween movies, because they've been doing it for, like, James Bond or something recently and stuff like that. But it would be great to see them do Halloween and make fun of, or do all the Halloweens, all the way up to Halloween Kills and everything. Mm-hmm. Because I guarantee you, it would be stuff like that. They would be like, we're just going to make him an asshole. Why? I don't, doesn't matter. Okay, we're going with that.
Yeah, I'm fine with that. Fuck it. That's one of my complaints with Michael, is that it consistently feels like he has no personality.
Right.
Which was honestly one of the things that I also enjoyed in H2O. He has a couple little personality quirks, I feel, in this. Like, and the shot of him lowering himself is like the most creative fucking thing Michael's done in what feels like 20 years.
A lot of that was actually the stunt guy.
Awesome.
The stunt guy himself, Chris Duran, was a... you know, said in an interview that he loved, you know, kind of being able to bring, you know, different things it. And one of the things he also brought was, you know, how he has that look in his eyes when he's kind of like, he kind of cocks head a little bit, and the kind of like, you know, he looks like a cat, like going to prey on, you know,
yes,
and everything. And that was stuff he added to the movie to bring his own personality and his own. But he was also, from what everybody said, was they, whenever he would take off the mask, he'd have big smile on his face, you know? So that it was like hard for them to kind of take him seriously, because
that's awesome.
They knew, like, whenever he would take off his mask, he'd just be grinning, like he's having fun, you know? And I think that almost kind of feels like a little bit like Kane Hodder. Kane Hodder always kind of has a blast when he plays these characters and stuff. And so I think, like, this was one of the first times I ever saw, like, a sort of a Kane Hodder, you know, Michael. You know, I feel like all the rest of the Michaels are just kind of boring in a way. Except for Tyler Mane.
Oh, fuck yeah, yeah.
Dude, he he's a really funny, like, nice guy, you know, like he hangs out with people at conventions. He's always, you know, like, whatever. He's very easy to reach, you know, if you want to ask him a question or something. He's not very, you know, he doesn't, whatever. He, but he's also fucking scary.
Yes.
And he's terrifying. And
honestly, the scariest Michael is in this entire series is in Zombies Halloween 2 when half of his mask is missing. I know that some people have like their internal rule, like you should never see Michael's face. He should never be humanized. He should just be the shape. And I respect that. I would never say that take is wrong. I get the point of that. But for me, being able to see one really fucking angry eye all of the time, yeah, that was a good call. I don't know who, like, it was the, if it was like a designer or like a costume person or Rob himself that made that call for the mask, but man, what a fucking great call.
Speaking of masks, you want to hear something interesting about Halloween H2O's masks? So
I can tell that there's at least four of them because the it ain't the lighting that's changing on these fucking things.
One was a CGI mask.
What?
Yes. There's a close up at one point that they had to do a CGI mask. And you can tell if you really look at it. It was a you can even look on YouTube and see it. You'll see the thing on it, I think. But,
I believe you.
You know, but
I just didn't notice.
Yeah, you didn't notice, but it was there. And then the rest are some of the scenes you left it out, but there was like even what's his name? One of the really big mask guys, Rick Baker, I think, did a mask for Halloween, but like there was like four different masks, you're right, and each, if you watch the behind the scenes, they show it, and I don't know why they did any of this, but I think it was Bob Weinstein was not happy with, you know, the with it, you know, so they kept asking him to change the masks up or whatever, and you know, it was just ridiculous.
I mean, there's moments in the movie where it's like, I think, one of the best looking masks in the series. And then there are moments when it is one of the worst looking masks in the series, which is a lot after 4 and 5.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
exactly. you really gotta fuck up to be worse than 4 and 5, but it's a weird 50-50. And I think since it keeps going back and forth, it's more jarring in this. I'll definitely state that as a negative.
Right.
Cause that's the thing. Like, it's not like all of Jason's hockey masks within their own films look the fucking same.
Mm-hmm.
Like they change between movies arbitrarily for no reason, but that's just fucking movie logic. You got to deal with that. It's never like, oh, why is Jason wearing Roy's blue mask in this scene?
Right. Like it's never like, oh my god, why is Jason all of a sudden in a duffel bag again or whatever?
Yeah.
You know, like it's like you know, but yeah, and the many different masks that you're right that. Jason does, but I think I don't know why they did that, why they kept changing the masks and everything. I
mean, you mean not in H2O or
I'm talking about Jason in Jason, yeah, in the
well
Jason.
That's just a case of you got a different costume designer in every movie. They want to make their own version of Jason's costume. It's the same thing why Freddy has a different glove in every single movie.
It's true.
Whoever's making Freddy's costume is like, oh, I think the glove will look better this way or that way or this way. So it's just one of those things where, like, in universe, you kind of have to pretend that the mask isn't changing. It's real world reasons why it's happening. The only time it's fucking weird is in part 8 when someone apparently has a perfect replica, including all of his battle damage.
Right. Definitely.
I don't understand.
Yeah. So okay. Well, you know, so there's like four different masks in this movie. So, I mean, I wonder if somebody like has sort of made replicas of every one of these stupid masks that
I am sure. You know, that's a niche, you know, like I'm sure there's at some horror convention at like Horror Hound or something, there's some booth that's just like, oh, this is Michael Myers masks in scene 24 through 35. This is the H2O mask from scene 68 to 67. Like,
well, you know what? That's, you know, that's hey, if that's what they're into. You
totally
know, making that shit, and people, they make a living off that shit. People like to buy that stuff and collect them. I don't particularly, but you know, it's not my thing, but I do, like, you know, for making my movies and stuff, if I do a slasher, I want a cool mask, you know, or whatever, you
that's
know,
that's why I picked a unicorn.
That's why he, you picked a unicorn.
Yeah, he doesn't change.
He doesn't change at all. he can be himself. Like, he doesn't need to wear a mask. Though it would have been funny if you had your unicorn wearing a mask, though, you know.
That would have been a funny gag.
Yeah, like he's just running around.
With Who is this masked killer? And it's a wide shot of this unicorn wearing a mask. And everyone's just like, it's a unicorn. Does no one else see this?
See, I'm giving you stuff from...
I take off the mask. Oh, it's a unicorn. I fucking know.
I'm giving you shit for Carousel 3, you know. There you go. He wears a mask this time. He thinks he's going to get away with it by differently by wearing a mask. I could actually see you doing that, you know.
I already had like a joke idea that some cosplayer is killing people because they're such a fan of Duke. But it's very clearly not Duke, and like there's photos of it very clearly it being a human being in makeup. But still people are like, I can't believe Duke is doing this. And Duke is like, are you fucking kidding me? Like,
oh no, now I have to kill the copycat killer, you know. Like,
yeah.
Copycat Duke. That's actually a really good idea. I like that.
It was just an idea. We may actually not use it. There's a lot of stuff that could happen in 3. Anyway, let's keep talking about Halloween.
Sorry, we're getting sidetracked. It happens on my shows a lot, just so you know. But yeah, so Halloween H2O, going back to that, and the fact that basically, I mean, I think it did pretty well in the box office. You know, it warranted the sequel next, you know. Yes. And they didn't want to change it. Like they could have been, if it flopped badly, I bet they would have said, okay, let's get away from this, you know, route and do Michael Myers has nothing to do with, you know, whatever just happened. It's all new. Cause that's what that's what they ended up doing with after Resurrection with Rob Zombie's Halloween. Yeah. They're just like, let's just make a whole new remake. Mm-hmm. And then, when after Rob Zombie's Halloween, you know, I guess, I don't know if Halloween 2 didn't do well or something.
It didn't do very well, but also that ending very much feels definitive. Like, I truly think that just Rob on his own was just like, I'm making this one and this is the ending, you know, like.
I mean, I always.
And it's not like the studios were making a bunch of sequels to their like mid-2000s remakes. Like,
right.
Almost none of them got a sequel. And if they did, they got one sequel. It's not like any of these reboot timelines or reboot franchises now have 7 fucking entries in the reboot franchise. So
that's true. Like if you look at like Texas Chainsaw Massacre,
it keeps being either a prequel or now it's another reboot. And then it's a prequel to that reboot or now it's a sequel to the first one. And this one's a sequel to the first one. And none of them is a sequel to 2. I want to see that.
that would be interesting. Ask Bill Moseley to see if he can get that going.
Bring back Chop Top. Let's fucking do this.
Fuck it, dude. I would love that. He's bring back
let's do this. Yeah.
I don't know though. What about Leatherface? Texas Chainsaw 3, man. That was fucking brutal.
I mean, it was fine. I'm not a big fan of the Texas Chainsaw series either.
I'm not as big. I don't know. I'm not into kind of like rednecky kind of, stuff. So I don't like them. I don't like the Wrong Turn series that much. Even though it's sort of rednecky, but sort of like, I don't know, mountain inbred people.
I mean, mountain people, redneck people. It's the same sort of vein of weird incest. They don't interact with society.
Yeah.
For some reason, they think murdering everyone is okay, but they don't murder each other. It's weird.
Yeah, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense, but it works, I guess, you know, for what they're doing, whatever. Yeah. I'm just not into that. I was into, you know, my favorite franchise is Friday the 13th. And I think, I don't know what really did it for me, you know, necessarily. I think I like killers in the woods kind of thing, you know?
Like, well, it helps that every Friday is pretty unique. Like, don't get me wrong, like the first several are all like, oh, they're in the camp and Jason's there, but they all have a different set of kids that all have different personalities, that all have different character arcs. And then you start getting into 4, 5, and 6 with Tommy Jarvis now being the focus, and you know, so you got 5, it's about Tommy being fucking crazy and also a new killer who actually shares the motivation of the first killer in the franchise, revenge for their dead child. Then you got 6 where Tommy is now even crazier, but now Jason's a fucking zombie and it's a comedy. Then in 7, he's fighting a telekinetic.
So then it's Carrie. Yeah.
And then in 8, he's on a fucking boat. And
that's my favorite. That's my favorite. And it's a weird thing. That's like a lot of people's least favorite, but it's my favorite.
I rank it lower, but I wouldn't say it's my least favorite. There's a lot of cool visuals and cool ideas in that movie. And then 9, which might is probably my second to last.
We did that a couple episodes ago. Me and Rebecca Reinhart, who's worked with you, did Jason Goes to Hell.
Even though I don't like it, I respect the hell out of it being so weird and different and unique. And then you got Jason X. He goes to fucking space. And it's great. So Friday the 13th, they're all different in some way, even if it's only the kids and their arcs being different. Whereas, again, by comparison to me as a non-fan, and I know it's not popular, or maybe it's at least popular for people to be like, the first is classic and then the series goes to hell. Halloween doesn't have that same level of creativity and uniqueness in each entry compared to Friday the 13th.
I agree. And I will say that, like, except for 3, yeah. Like,
yeah, of course, 3. Yeah. I'm never including Season of the Witch when I talk. I'm always talking about, like, the Michael Myers movies.
Yeah, it almost feels like, because they did make a Season of the Witch movie with Nicolas Cage, completely different movie. But when they do, like, Halloween 3, when people talk about Halloween 3, a lot of people, like, literally hate that movie because they want Michael Myers, right? Yeah. And in the beginning, like, I can understand that in the beginning when you're first, like, you're not, like, there's no internet that exists, mm-hmm. yeah. and people have not heard about the fact that Halloween, whatever, like, you're going to be confused and you're going to hate it. You're going to be mad mm-hmm. because you're going to be like, where the fuck's Michael? What the fuck's going on? Mm-hmm. You know, why is this song playing constantly? What is it? You know what I mean? Then, and for a long time, I didn't watch it because I knew it wasn't Michael Myers, actually. So, and then I watched it and I was like, the fuck, I've been missing out on this movie for so long. It's one of my yep. favorites. And so I love Halloween. You know, I love Halloween. Halloween 3? Yeah. However, you know, the rest of the movies, they are sort of, okay, Michael's, you know, Michael returns home to
have Michael's back to town again.
And he goes and he goes on a killing spree. That's it. Like, there's no rhyme or reason for anything. And then they tried to do that with him being the brother of Laurie Strode, which, like, still didn't make any sense because he wasn't coming after her because he knew it was her. You know what I mean? It's not like he knew that, you know? It's just...
Well, then happened. They got into Cult of Thorn where it's like a supernatural thing. Like, he just knows.
Well, and so that just made a point. So a friend of mine was telling me, I think Paul and I were talking about Michael, and what he said was when he first watched the first Halloween movie and Michael fell off the window, out the window, mm-hmm. and then all of a sudden you saw him, he was gone. That made the audience go wild because they were like, that was the first time that's happened, that mm-hmm. that a killer could, like, be supernatural in a way. Like, he could yeah. survive falling out of that thing with no problem and just disappear, you know?
I believe right? it.
And so he said that's the reason why I think a lot of people loved that movie was because of the supernatural element of it. However, the rest of the movies kind of don't make him supernatural.
And he's just apparently a really lucky guy.
Right.
He's also always super strong, even though he does nothing to work out or build the muscles. Even Jason actually lives in the fucking woods. So I totally understand why he's strong enough to crush a man's fucking skull even before he becomes a zombie.
Right.
I was in a fucking hospital bed for 5-10 years and then he gets up and he's lifting dudes with, like, pinkies, and some people are like, oh, that's the point, he's just pure evil, which is like, that's less believable to me than magic. Like in this fictional universe, the idea that, like, oh, this dude is just so evil that he's unstoppable makes less sense to me than the weird fucking doctor cult putting a curse on him. At least, as silly as the explanation is, at least there's an explanation.
So it's funny now that I'm thinking about it. So part 5 kind of introduces the Cult of Thorn, really.
Yeah.
Even though part 4, I guess, was also supposed to be a part of that thing, but really, like, there's no hints.
Yeah.
Right. So part 5, they kind of drop hints. Right. And part 4 had the ending where Danielle Harris all of a sudden like she could be, you know, the next Michael Myers.
That could have been the ending of the franchise right there.
Or the beginning of a new thing, you know, like
a new beginning. Michael, this should have been Halloween part 4, the final chapter.
Right.
And then they could have done Halloween part 5, a new beginning.
No, because the Halloween final chapter, new beginning, almost completely forgets the fact that, in a way, I believe that it forgets almost that Tommy is you know, is possessed by Michael at the, you know, or whatever. No, it was a possessed, I don't know, or he was just, I thought he just killed Michael or Jason enough where all of a sudden he, you know.
Became, do you mean the ending of Friday the 13th, 5?
4. So part 4 to begin with, he's killed.
Oh yeah, you know, that was Jason. It was never a possession thing. It was just like a trauma thing, and you're just supposed to see like the similarities now that since Tommy looks like Jason, now Tommy did something so brutal.
Right. And then he kills him. So I was thinking, "Oh shit, they're going to make when I first watched that in the order, you know, when I was younger, I thought, "Oh crap, now Corey Feldman is going to become, you know, Jason." You know, like sort of thing. The same thing I thought was going to happen with, you know, with Danielle Harris, but both times they kind of just forget, you know, in a way, like it just becomes that, you know, Danielle's just, I guess she loses her voice, I guess, in the fifth one or whatever,
the trauma thing.
And then the sixth one,
like Tiny Tim and Scrooged. It takes Bill Murray to get Danielle Harris to talk again.
Yeah, and then in part 6, I would have loved if they just like forgot about the thorn and just did something, you know, whatever, because I guess you like the thorn magic, so you like it, but
I just thought 6 was a poor way to do it.
Yeah.
But I liked the idea.
Like the idea. I just wish that it had better explanation, you know. And I think that was the problem of Miramax taking over. You know, mm-hmm. They just Miramax back then, or Dimension, or whoever it technically was, the Weinsteins like to kind of put their hand into everything, mm-hmm. and then they re-edit it. And so there was like re-edits. There's 2 versions of that movie.
I watched both.
Yeah, and I actually like the producer's cut better, which is not like very common, but I thought it was more fun.
I think most people prefer the producer's cut of that one.
Which is funny because that's the producer's cut. That's a Weinstein cut, you know.
Or sometimes whatever. Producers are right. Not every situation is Zack Snyder and Warner Brothers, you know. Like, sometimes the director is an idiot.
Right, exactly. So there you go. Well, especially, I don't even know who the director was for part 6.
I think it was the same guy for 5 because it was, like, his trilogy.
Oh.
But I'm not a fan of Halloween. What I said could be fucking wrong, so please don't listen to me.
Okay, yeah. So anyway, part 7, when they bring, you know, or Halloween H2O, when they kind of are like, oh, let's just forget all that, you know, I just feel like it was better.
Back to basics, and I'm not against that. I think it works.
Yeah. I also think that, yeah, they took a lot of the stuff from the first 2, which were the supernatural aspects, you know, but just didn't explained it, you know?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So like, not really explained it, but sort of, I mean, they didn't need to, you know, you still just saw this guy who's, I think even they have a voiceover with Loomis, which, by the way, did you know that wasn't really Dr. Loomis's voice?
I did know that. I figured because it was new dialogue and I was like, there's no way they didn't have all of this extra dialogue. So this has to be a voice actor or a sound alike. And yeah, so I watched the credits.
It would have been cooler if it was like extra dialogue that they had, and they did were able to have Donald Pleasance.
Like how half of Phantasm 4 is just a bunch of unused footage from Phantasm 1, and it's fucking amazing because it's like they're actually time traveling and shit.
I was thinking more like Silent Night, Deadly Night Part 2, but you know.
Okay, I guess.
You can see that. No,
as cool as what they did with Phantasm 4, baby.
Okay, all right. Well, I mean, was it the Puppet Master? Was it Legacy or something? Just used nothing but it was like a fucking clip show.
It was a fucking clip show. Don't get me started on Puppet Master. Bill Murphy and I did that whole franchise, and you can just hear us losing our fucking sanity. We get angrier and angrier as the series goes along. I think I finally get to like Puppet Master 10. I'm like, okay, so this one's okay, I guess. And then we finally reviewed 11 as like the last movie of our podcast, and I'm just screaming the whole time because of how fucking insultingly awful it was.
Did you guys watch it and do your review or something?
Yeah.
Or like together at the same time?
Well, we didn't watch it at the same time.
Okay, no, I was thinking you're like okay, you didn't do Mystery Science Theater 3000.
No, we never did that.
No. Okay.
No, I wouldn't say never. There's there's like four episodes we did which were like, oh, you can use this as a commentary. One of them was the Nightmare on Elm Street reboot, because that's my most hated movie of all time. So I got really drunk and we did a live commentary for that movie, so you could watch the movie with our commentary.
Oh, but you mean the Grinch? What was I going to say? Sorry.
I was just going to say, no, most aside from those four, like four examples are reviews or just reviews after the fact.
So you're saying Nightmare on Elm Street, the remake, was your least favorite, though the Grinch Stole Freddy wasn't your favorite?
No, it wasn't.
No, that shit, that like makeup was the worst makeup I've ever seen for Freddy.
I didn't mind the makeup. I agree that it was the worst of the series, but I didn't care about the makeup that much. They wanted it to look like more like a real burn victim. That's fine. I don't care about that.
I didn't even believe it was a real burn victim. It looked like makeup.
It's the script that made me hate that movie.
You know what? I don't know if I'll ever review that movie or not, but if I do, why? Sometimes I like to give myself a little pain.
You know what I didn't hate? The ending of Halloween H2O. This final act honestly really fucking works for me. I like, as we started discussing at the beginning of the episode, I think it's Laurie's motivation as a mother of wanting to end basically this kind of curse that's on her family bloodline. Mm-hmm. And I completely believe Laurie is so angry that she's going to fucking murder this monster. At no point I'm like, oh, Laurie, baby, what you doing, baby girl? You can't do this. I'm like, yep, okay, let's fucking do this. Laurie's got this. No training, no planning, just an axe and anger, and I am here for it. And she kicks his ass, and let me tell you, you know, for anyone that doesn't know me listening at home, for you, Johnny, I'm a huge fan of monsters getting the shit beat out of them. Whenever it happens, I am having a great time. And so that's one reason why I like this movie so much, because aside from, you know, when Michael gets shot and goes away, this feels like the first time Michael's gotten the shit beat out of him.
Right.
And no, I liked it a lot.
That's true. Like, this is the first time, like, a person in the Halloween franchise really stood up to Jason.
Unless you include, or not Jason, Michael. You include Paul Rudd hitting him with a pipe a little bit and then running away. It's not the same. Like, it's not like Laurie fucking stayed on him. It wasn't like a hit and run. It's just like, nope, I'm finishing it. Let's fucking go. Putting you through a fucking table.
Yeah, I mean, they were pretty brutal in this one with Michael. God, why the fuck do I keep saying Jason?
I don't know. Talk about better franchise.
The one I like better, yeah, for sure. I don't know. It's just got him on my mind, I guess. I don't know. Whatever. It's funny. I've always wanted a Jason versus Michael movie, you know?
I think it would be so boring.
Really?
That's the problem, yeah. And again, then you'd be looking at which Jason, which Michael. Because if it's human Jason, human Michael, I don't know what the fuck Michael even is, and in which timeline or whatever. I don't know what the fuck Michael's supposed to be. But if it's human Jason, arguably, I think it would probably go to Michael, simply because Michael keeps acting like nothing fucking hurts him for no reason, whereas human Jason got hurt and could be stopped. But then if it's zombie Jason, it's like no fucking contest. Like, there's nothing Michael can do to him that can do anything. So what's the fight?
Right.
At least with Freddy and Jason, you got a super zombie and a demon. So it's basically like an immovable object versus an unstoppable force. Whereas Michael and Jason is just like a guy with a knife.
And a guy with a fucking huge...
And a fucking deadite that can't be stopped.
Right.
Who's winning? I don't think the guy with the knife is going to pull it off.
That's true. I think I have a feeling that Jason would win in any combat, so I guess. But what I heard, there was supposed to be like Halloween. There's supposed to be a Hellraiser, you know, Pinhead versus Michael. Mm-hmm. And I think that too would sort of be boring, you know.
They would basically, if they wanted to make that movie work, they would have to do what Rob Zombie did. They'd have to show like young Michael in hell, his like childhood, his trauma, the way he thinks, what he sees. Otherwise, you just got a silent dude as Pinhead's being like, hey, I got such sights to show you. And that's it. There's nothing else to do.
Definitely. To go back to H2O, to finish up our conversation here with it. Yeah, I think the ending was fantastic. I think the if they had just left it alone, it would have been a great, like, sort of ending to that thing. They could have
end that timeline.
That timeline.
In this timeline, Michael is dead. Right. Rory wins. The end. I would have fucking loved that. I will at least say that I appreciate that they planned the opening for Resurrection while shooting this movie. Because I don't know if you know this, but a lot of the beginning of Resurrection was shot by Steve Miner on the set for H2O.
Interesting.
I did not know that. When my wife was watching it and she saw Michael in the car reaching for Lori, which is a great moment, by the way. Like, I think that's a beautiful moment. Even she was just like, they got a completely different fucking stunt actor. That guy's way smaller. But it was done on purpose because they knew it was a paramedic when they were shooting the scene. They purposely, like, put someone smaller into the outfit so that if you were paying attention, you would fucking know.
Right.
And that's amazing. Like, that sort of forward planning shit is not what you get in horror movies a lot. Unfortunately, then the rest of Resurrection followed after that. But I want to give the credit where it's due and really appreciate that they kind of had this just like, nope, this is exactly what's happening. Even if we are telling the audience for potentially years.
I know she killed, because I don't remember Resurrection as much, you know, because I hadn't rewatched it recently or anything. So you tell me what you think. But I was always thinking it would be great if she had, you know, because she had murdered a paramedic. She didn't murder Michael. So technically, she's a murderer, you know, like even if she murdered somebody who was coming after, she could claim self-defense. But at that rate,
well, I mean, that's why she's in an insane asylum in Resurrection. That probably fucked her up.
Yeah. So she's in the insane asylum. It would have been better if she was in a prison. It's like an all women's prison.
No, I don't think so. I think really any prosecutor is going to see someone getting chased down by Michael Myers, trying to kill her, killing multiple people in the school, almost killing her son. And then seeing that woman cut off the head of someone dressed exactly like Michael Myers. They aren't fucking, there's no jury that would convict her. So the prosecution would never try to pin actual murder on her. It's at worst manslaughter. And for someone that's gone through so much trauma, so much pain, and is such like a popular figure in this world to the point where people states away know about the Haddonfield murders, there's no way they'd be able to convict even on a manslaughter charge. No, that totally makes sense.
Okay. So she's in the mental hospital instead. Okay. All right. I'm just saying it would be cool if he was in a all girls prison, you know, or what women's prison and just murdering, you know, random people or whatever, you know, like, I don't know.
That's Reanimator 3.
Okay. All right. Was that Beyond Reanimator or something?
Yes. Which was way better than I was expecting it to be, but that's a different discussion.
Okay. That's a different podcast. That is a 90s horror movie though, right?
2000s.
Oh
yeah. It's funny because once you start watching Beyond, you can tell it was made in the early 2000s because it has that taste. You know what I mean? Like how so many straight to video shot on digital early 2000s movies all look exactly the fucking same. So I was expecting it to be as bad as all the other shot digitally early 2000s horror movies. And it fucking wasn't. It was fucking great and hilarious and had a lot of personality. Because it was the same director that did Bride, which I thought was always way better than the first Reanimator.
Yeah, it was the producer who did it, who was amazing. I love that series, but like, yeah, for, you know, Beyond Reanimator. Whatever. I love that the ending happened, that she got her, you know, she got her revenge, I guess, or not revenge, but she got her justice, you know, like justice, everything. Yeah, justice. She finally got to finally finish him, and then she finds out, well, in the next movie that
as far as this movie is concerned, she gets her justice. Michael is fucking dead, and it's a great ending. And it, as we were discussing, that should have been the end of that timeline. Make another Halloween, but make it a sequel to 6, or make it a sequel to 2, or do something different. I don't fucking know, but this should have been the last time we fucking saw Lori. I'm going to be honest. I don't like her coming back in the 2018 film. I don't like her character as much in the 2018 film as I like.
I hate her in the 2018. And we've got a review for Horror, Blood, and Coffee. We've got a review Halloween Kills. And I'm honestly not really looking forward to it. I just, I don't think, you know, it's going to be, I think I, my biggest problem with it is it's written by Hollywood people, you know? And I feel like a lot of these movies that do well are written by independent filmmakers, you know, or whatever, or people like Steve Miner who did do Hollywood stuff.
A bunch of horror though.
But his horror was independent. Like Friday the 13th was independent. House. I think he did either House or House 2. He did those kind of movies, you know, and those were great. So he was the perfect. He also did one of my favorite movies that sort of bombed in the box office that doesn't get enough respect that I'm going to do for Hollywood Knockbusters, my other podcast, which is My Father the Hero, you know, directed by Steve Miner. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you ever saw that movie.
That one I hadn't seen.
Catherine Heigl and Gerard Depardieu, you know. But anyway, the point is, Steve Miner was one of my favorite, is still one of my favorite directors in this kind of like, you know, whatever, like universe that has made these amazing movies. And so Halloween H2O, I even forgot when I first started watching it that Steve Miner directed it. And so when I saw that, I was so excited because I think he also did a couple episodes like Dawson's Creek, you know, or something. Mm-hmm. Or something like that.
He did a lot of TV for a while.
Yeah. So he's just a really good director and very nice guy, you know, it seems. So I'm excited to, you know, see more of this stuff, you know? So I hope I haven't seen him direct much lately.
He hasn't done anything for 5 years. And the last thing he did was just a couple episodes of a TV show. So he may be retired by choice. I don't know.
You should come back. You know, not with the Halloween, not with any of those franchises, unless they bring back.
Hey, Steve, do you want to direct Carousel 4? Call me, buddy. Let's get you set up.
Exactly. You know, so you're saying Steve should direct the next
Steve
one?
Steve Miner should direct Carousel 4. Let me finish my trilogy, and then Steve Miner can take over.
Would it be a reboot or would it be an original?
No, it's a sequel.
A sequel. Absolutely. He's good at sequels, you know.
Exactly.
You do a great job. Yeah, why not? You know, I'm wondering how much you would get on that Kickstarter. you know, having his name attached,
like 11,000 instead of 10,000, it'd be nuts.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Steve. This is awesome. When you said Steve, I thought you were talking to yourself. By the way.
Oh, funny.
Like,
yeah.
I was like, wait. Oh.
Okay. Do we do star ratings or anything?
We don't, but we could for this one.
Oh, and we don't have to. I'll end my thoughts saying that. Although I changed my answer because I just saw fucking the Rob Zombie Halloween 1 and 2, and I consider the Zombie Halloween 2 to now be my favorite, not including 3 is always the best in this franchise no matter what. Until that point, I kept saying that H2O ended up being my favorite during the rewatch. I just think it's a lot of fun. I really like the characters, I really like the shots, I really like the editing, I really like the pacing. And like I said, I really fucking like the ending. I think that the ending is everything that I was waiting for from like every fucking previous entry in this fucking franchise. And I finally got it. I can't imagine watching this in real time. And 20 years later, finally, the killer gets his comeuppance. I would have been losing my mind. I only had to wait 5 days.
Right.
But it really, really worked for me. So if you don't remember H2O favorably, but it's because you haven't seen it in a while, I'd say give it another shot. I think when 2018 came out, a lot of people suddenly out of nowhere were being extremely unfair to H2O. And again, like as a non-fan, but like I remember as soon as 2018 came out, everyone was like, fuck H2O. I hated what they did with Lori. The story was stupid. Blah, 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 blah. And it felt like just because 2018 was new and fresh, so they liked it more. So they had to lift that up by knocking something else down, and I don't think H2O deserves it. Even if you do prefer 2018 and prefer Lori in 2018 and the plot of 2018, I don't think H2O does anything wrong to garner any of the vitriol that it got for a little while. So I would at least say give it a rent if you haven't seen it in a long time. I think it's a lot of fun, but I will say that with the little asterisk at the end of my sentence, I'm not a fan of the Halloween franchise. So it is very possible that I simply prefer the entries of the series that people fucking don't like. because it's the opposite of what they like. So it, thus it's what I like.
You did say you like part five, you know, yes. So that's what that's universally everybody's least favorite. I think my
top three is Zombie 2, H2O, and then 5.
That's what that really literally probably goes against what most people think.
Yeah, but, I agree. I will not deny that.
Which is fine. Because me personally, I like one the best, you know. Yeah. Like
it's a fucking classic, it's a masterpiece.
And I kind of disagree with your thoughts on that, on like the storyline and everything, all that, the, you know, the stuff that you really didn't like about one. Mm-hmm. I thought it was a lot of fun. I thought like it was scarier because there was no motivation. It was just literally a dude going around killing people because at his old hometown because he was a maniac, because mm-hmm. he was, you know, whatever. There was no real backstory except that he was evil, you know, and that's all we needed. Halloween 2 is not my favorite. It's okay, you know, whatever. A lot of people love it, but I think it's part 3 is my favorite. I agree with you. It's absolutely my favorite. Mm-hmm. And it's funny because it's not Michael Myers, but it's so much fun.
It's such a great Halloween holiday.
Yeah.
Horror movie.
Yeah. And I think if they had kept doing that, it would have been an interesting thing. If they had done that with part 3 and they're like, okay, part 4, let's do another one like that. But it didn't do well enough. So they had to do 4, you know, 4 with Michael Myers. Then 4 is sort of my favorite, whatever. I mm-hmm. like it too, because I think it was fun, you know?
I mean, 4 was in the running for my third place until 5 made me giggle so fucking hard at how ridiculous it was. 4 was a legitimately good sequel, in my opinion.
Yeah. And then 5 was ridiculous, and I didn't like it, but I can understand why you do. 6, I think, is stupid as fuck. Hate it. I like Paul Rudd best. Though. I love Paul.
Same. Same.
And then 7, I love to death now. Look, this is just great because I love Scream, and a lot of people hate Scream, mm-hmm. and I don't give a fuck because it's what brought me back into horror. You know, and that it did a lot for a lot of people. It sort of revitalized horror at that time. So there you go. Then what is it? Halloween Resurrection. Like, hate that movie.
Treat, motherfucker.
Yeah. Goddamn fucking Busta Rhymes. Just, it was terrible. And then Rob Zombie once, I didn't really like. I'm kind of torn. I kind of like the first one a little bit, you know, like it
spends too much time on the white trash Michael Myers backstory.
Yeah.
If that was just shorter, I think one would be stronger.
Like, literally all they would have had to do was have him kill the guy, kill the father or whatever, stepfather, in the beginning of the movie, and then get caught, you know?
Yeah.
He didn't have to have anything else. No. Nothing else. That's it. And then get caught. But I think they wanted to make you...
Or less time in the family house, less time on those killings, and more time in the hospital. Yeah. Either one, not both.
Right. And I think the problem was a lot more time in the hospital with Digg. And I think Digg was an interesting actor, you know? Mm-hmm. Interesting choice for the young, you know, the young Michael. But I just feel like he was kind of boring. And... I mean, not Digg himself, but just the character.
Yeah, he was supposed to be monotone. You know, was it the script? Was it Rob's directing? Who fucking knows? Because that kid's awesome. I've hung out with him at a couple conventions.
Oh, no, he's awesome. Yeah. And you know what? I've seen him in other shit, and I like him. So yeah. It's definitely not that. It's yeah. It's definitely Rob Zombie's direction of him, what he wanted to do with him. But, you know, whatever. He had an idea. And so anyway, then Halloween 2... Rob Zombie's Halloween 2. I really do like that one. And I think it was the better version of the hospital.
Oh, you know, yeah.
And Halloween from the original.
I love that misdirection. I love that he starts it off with you thinking, oh, it's a remake of 2 with him in the hospital. Just kidding, fucko.
Yeah.
It's a nightmare. This is actually a deep character study movie. Like, oh, mm-hmm. okay. Hell yeah. Let's go.
Yeah. It was fun. You know,
and then I liked 2018, but I definitely, I told you my top 3, it's not in it.
I just,
you know, you know what would have made it my number one? If Michael killed that fucking baby, if he was walking past the crib and just went and just kept going, I would have been like, well, fucking 5 out of 5.
that brings me to a point from H2O. There was a scene where they went to the rest stop, and he would have killed the woman and taken her stuff, but he heard the kid talking, and I think he just left, you know, because of that, because he wasn't going to kill the kid ever. And there was a point where I was just wondering, because I hadn't seen it in so long, I was like, is he gonna fucking kill the kid? And I was like, and then he didn't, and then he left, and he just took the car, and he left the lady, you know, or whatever. That lady got her ass saved, you know, by just letting him steal her purse and shit.
Yeah,
you know, because that dude would have. I mean, she was just lucky, because like, otherwise, I thought he would have killed her. Like, he would just came into the thing. Mm-hmm. I think that's a big reason why there's that rest stop scene in Halloween. And fucking Michael Myers just kills fucking Ken Foray, like just like murders him, like, you know, or whatever, because like it was a throwback to Halloween H2O, maybe, I thought, you know, a little bit. Anyway, point is, I H2O, I think, or not H2O, the new Halloween, Halloween 2018 was just sort of, I don't know, I feel like it was just sort of not. It had so many points. I was so mad at it. Like, we didn't need a new Loomis, you know, or bad Loomis, you know, like, we didn't need that shit. It just felt like there was too much going on in that movie and not enough time spent on like really caring about the Jamie Lee Curtis's character and stuff to me. So I don't know. I just didn't like it.
You know what also would have made 2018 my favorite? If evil Loomis actually killed Michael Myers and just put on the mask, and then he was killing for the rest of the series.
Yeah, people have been so pissed.
Oh yeah, they would have been, and I would have been so happy.
That would have made you happy. I think that would have made a few people like, oh my god, this just went fucking nuts.
Old man. I hope Halloween Kills is just a bunch of people beating the shit out of an old, frail, elderly man.
Really? Yeah,
That's it. That's the whole final act, just people beating the shit out of Michael Myers with his mask off, and he's really old. He looks.
That
like
won't
shit.
Be Halloween Kills. That'll be Halloween Ends. Then
no, yeah. I won't have that. Wouldn't be Halloween Kills. Then Halloween Ends is just, you know, Laurie having dinner for 2 hours because Halloween's over. And what else do you do? She starts decorating for Christmas because Halloween has ended. That's the whole movie. And then Tom Atkins comes out of a magical portal dragging a piece of Stonehenge.
See, that's your Halloween Ends.
They would never let me make one of these movies.
I know. Well, because I mean, also, I don't know. Or I don't know if, because the guy who directed part the 2018 one, I forgot his name. It's on the tip of my tongue. David Gordon Green. David Gordon Green is kind of known for originally doing independent films, you know.
Yes.
Like, he did all the Real Girls, and he did George Washington, and then he directed fucking Pineapple Express, and I was just like, where the fuck did this come from? This guy was not, like, you know, and so he became a mainstream guy, you know, more or less. And he directed this, you know, the Halloween 2018. I'm like, why is this guy directing a comedy guy with another comedy guy writing it? Why are they making a Halloween movie? And
I actually think is great, because I think comedy and horror is very similar because of how much of it is based on setup and timing.
Right.
So I think if you're good at doing comedy, you can do good horror, and vice versa. If you're good at doing horror, you should theoretically be able to do good comedy. I've gotten that compliment a lot on my own movies. I mean, obviously my movies are meant to be horror comedies, but, you know, horror is my favorite genre, and I'm able to deliver these super fucking funny movies. And I think it is that there's a symbiotic relationship there between the two genres, where, again, it's all fucking timing.
Right.
It's just, instead of the punchline being a gag, the punchline is a kill, you know?
Right. No, that's true. A literal punchline.
Yes.
You know,
through their chest.
You know, it was, I don't know. I for some reason, when I was watching it, I was hoping for better, I guess, you know, and I think I was just let down. But I think
with
I was let down.
People talked about it being great. I was expecting more, I'll be honest. So it's possible that the hype made me like it less. If I went into it blind, maybe I would have liked it more, because I went into all these other ones blind, expecting nothing, and got like a very genuine reaction from them. In 2018, yeah. I kept on being told, oh, it's great, it's great, it's great. And I was like, eh, it's okay.
It's okay. I didn't hate it, but...
It was better than half the franchise.
Yeah.
But that's also not saying much.
Exactly. No, I agree. So, there you go. Well, if you would, we would give this a, like, a five-star rating or so, like, up to five stars, what would you rate it?
Honestly, I'd give H2O a nice solid 4. 4 out of 5, honestly.
I would give it 4.5, actually.
Okay, yeah.
You know, I really liked it, and this is a movie that I think a lot of people, especially if you like the Scream era slashers, you know, like I Know What You Did Last Summer, Scream, you know, Faculty, even though it's sci-fi-ish, but it's still got like kind of a slasher vibe to it. You know, those kind of things, like, was it Valentine's? I think it was Valentine's Day or whatever it was, you know, or Valentine, I think, you know, and Urban Legend, things like that. All of those came out around the same time. They had a very similar style of, like, you know, and very kind of, you know, self-referential humor, you know, which that's what this had. And I think, you know, this was great, you know, for that time period and everything. Mm-hmm. I think maybe also that's a lot of what, because early 2000 slashers were not that great, you know, so there came a point.
Aside from like Urban Legend. It's the only one I can think of offhand that I actually...
No, Urban really Legend was 1998.
Oh, well, there you go.
Yeah. So, no, I'm saying, like, and that was the same time period as, I believe that was the same time period as, you know, this. So they all came around the same time. But, like, movies, I don't know, like, there's been a lot of shitty slashers. And then I think it got revitalized in, like, late 2000. But, you know.
I agree. I think the Friday the 13th reboot brought it back. I credit that as like really bringing back.
I think Hatchet did.
Slasher. Which one was first?
Hatchet came out in 2007.
Then Hatchet was first. Yeah. Then Hatchet did. You're absolutely right. In my brain, I just mixed up which year was which.
Yeah. Cause you're right. You're right. Friday the 13th did it for Hollywood.
Yeah. For Hollywood. Sure.
But I think that was the thing. I think Hatchet became such a big fucking deal, you know, independently, that the studios were like, shit, we need to make another fucking Friday the 13th movie now.
Yeah.
You know, because like people are actually into slashers again, because they kind of go off on, because it becomes this thing where like a lot of independent films start doing it and start making it, and then it just kind of floods the market. And then nobody really cares about like the Hollywood shit, you know, like they don't do that well, because just people are just also, it's the same thing with found footage and everything. All these different subgenres kind of, they get flooded by the market, then all of a sudden they disappear, then they come back. And so slashers are coming back still. They're still around right now, doing well. Halloween Kills comes out not this Friday, obviously not when this is released, but next Friday. So go see, I would say go see Halloween Kills if you like, you know, if you want to see what's going on with Halloween, you know, after Halloween 2018. I will see it, and I'll be reviewing it, and hopefully
I'll see it eventually. I'm not going to be in a rush.
I'm actually excited that my expectations are very low on this, you know, because I have this feeling. I hope that they're not, that they're, you know, that I'm, you know, I like it more than I do, but yeah, we'll see. All right. Well, thank you, Steve. Is there anything you want to shout out to, your website?
If you want to check out my movies, if you want to buy them physically, www.silverspotlightfilms.com. That's where all of my physical options are: DVDs, Blu-rays, the 10-year anniversary vinyl record, the Carousel deck building game, posters, all of that's there. If you want to check out my stuff, but you don't want to pay as much, which I understand, it's been a rough couple of years for us all. I do have my own digital subscription service, stevebuster.com, where for as low as a few bucks a month, you get access to my entire library. It is up to 30 hours of stuff. You'd be a fool not to sign up. It's all my movies, all the bonus features from the physical releases, except for the commentaries, a bunch of older movies that I don't sell anymore, such as Basic Slaughter, upscaled to 720p HD, exclusive to the service, exclusives that I made just for the service, like the 20-minute short film Lost at Cleveland. BPO Films and I shot that just for Steve Buster, and it'll never get released anywhere else. Nice. And there's a bunch of cool stuff on there. SteveBuster.com, few bucks a month. SilverSpotlightFilms.com, pick up some DVDs, pick up some Blu-rays. And worst case scenario, if you have no spare money, but you want to check me out, look me up on Tubi TV.
Oh, Karis, wow. You're on Tubi?
Oh, yeah. Karis Hell is on Tubi. A Meowie Halloween is on Tubi, which makes me so happy. Super Task Force 1 is on Tubi. Red Christmas is on Tubi. And Captain Z just got taken off of Tubi. I think the distributor took it off, but it is still, I think, on Plex TV.
Oh,
which is Sony starting to do a streaming thing. A lot of my stuff is also on Plex, weirdly enough. I mean,
you know what?
On Plex.
So my movie, Scary Stories Slumber Party, is on Plex. So there you go. I actually discovered Plex when somebody let me know that Scary Stories Slumber Party was on
Plex. It's on Plex.
And I didn't know. And I'm kind of mad about that because
that's funny.
I own the rights to it now. Like, I got the rights back, and I guess the distributor had signed up, or they just put it on it. I don't know. So, you know, we'll find out. I have no idea. I contacted their lawyers and I've not heard back. So I'm not happy about that. But they're probably like, who the fuck is this guy? You know?
Right.
Watch the fucking movie and see my name everywhere. You know, like, I'm the fucking, you know, so whatever. Anyway, point being that be careful, you know, with distribution, everybody. However, how much is it for SteveBuster.com? Did you say the price?
It is $4.99 if you're getting just 1 month, or it's 3 months for $8.98, which comes out to about $2.99.
Nice.
That is literally the cheapest I can make it. So sign up. Come on, guys.
Yeah, sign up.
Barely anything.
I got to sign up now. You know, I'll have to do that, you know, after this podcast. You know, all right. Well, thank you so much. Stick around. I'll talk to you after the meeting, I guess it's a meeting, a Zoom meeting, after this podcast. And everybody else, thank you guys so much for checking us out. Join us next month, where Madeline Deering and I will be talking about Dr. Giggles. So I have never seen that movie yet. So I own it, but I haven't seen it. So it should be interesting. I'm really looking forward to that. And check us out for the rest of the, 90s horror films. So thank you guys. Bye.